Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, this is Lauren Razor for Razor Law this evening, this wonderful day. It's been a beautiful day, very productive day. I thank my colleagues and friends for trying to help a sister out on a day of working and organizing. And I feel incredibly spirited about some of the things that I'm engaged in and involved in. And I was encouraged to continue to provide this information to the public for free. Also, I am an attorney. I'm an author of a book called Living the Wealthy Life, which we will be talking more about, because I was told that it's still an inspiration to some people out there who have the book. I know that it's an inspiration, and we have to do everything we can to get this information to our children so that they can live successful lives. I was able to see my nephew this weekend, and he's in a wonderful house, a new house, and he's moving right along in his life, and I'm very, very proud of him, and everybody knows that they know myself and my engagement with my family. It's very important that, you know, I was involved actively with my family very early on. And therefore, there has been some great results. And, you know, we're really doing well. You know, I was talking today about Charlottesville and what is going on with the country. I am concerned about several things. First of all, I was a victim of a scam the first time in my life. And Lauren Razor was a victim of a scam. And I can tell you some of the things that happened. I was on my way to the airport, and for some odd reason, I wanted to put something away as I was leaving. And I went to this check cashing place and had it, I guess, had the name of the company typed into a money order. That's what happened. So I had a name typed into the money order. And when I got back, I mailed the money order to the business that I had to mail it to. And oddly enough, the following month, I found out that it never arrived there. So I wanted to know, you know, I put it in the mail. So I'm saying it had to, you know, where could it have gone? And then I'm noticing the mailboxes, the United States mailbox. And that's before, and we're going to discuss the scams, and we're going to have a whole program on scams. And then we'll talk tonight about the free speech issue of the First Amendment. But the fact of the matter is, I was a victim of a scam. So it appears that when I went back to the place where I purchased the money order from, I asked for a copy of it, you know, the cash copy of the money order. And lo and behold, it appears that the name of the company that was typewritten in was whited out, and someone wrote their name in the money order and obviously cashed it or whatever it is that they did with it, and it never made it to the business that it was made out to. So as I'm trying to so now we're going through a maze. It now becomes a very frustrating maze because you have to fill out a fraud application at the money order place, and you have to have the original money order, the copy, the original copy. But I was concerned about how they even was able to get the envelope. So I'm saying, is this a post office issue? And I called my friends at the Attorney General's office. I will be filing a complaint, and I'll also be filing a criminal complaint in the jurisdiction very shortly. So apparently there's I as I'm at the business, because now they have to give me an affidavit indicating that they never received this money order. So now we have a situation where, okay, I'm sitting in the office and these gentlemen come in. They were from the pest control place in the office, and you know, they were there conducting business where I was. They walked in and they jokingly, I was telling them what happened, and they said to me, my mother got scammed in the same way. So I'm learning this new thing about what they're doing. I mean, it may have been going on a long time. And then they said that they could take the apps. So if you have an account at Chase and you have an app, you can deposit this money order in the bank. The check clears, you withdraw the money, close the bank account, and call it a day. There is no face-to-face scrutiny of the check or of the money order anymore. There's no face-to-face scrutiny. It's just, and probably through the apps, you're not able to see any type of whiting out or crossing out or anything like that. So I don't know. We're looking into where and who cast this money order, whether it was the same place, are they in on it? So I'm certainly not going to let it go. But they have this thing called phishing. So because I noticed the mailboxes have little slits now. Before, you used to be able to open up the mailbox and just throw all the mail in. Many of the mailboxes that I see now, and it looks like an unartful slits, like someone just cut them there. These are not manufactured-made slits. It's like somebody at the post office decided to take a knife across a wood board and cut a slit in it and then stuff it on top of the post office box. So I thought that was weird also. But the reason why they are doing that now is because people are now going into the mailbox and doing what they call phishing. That means they're going in with wired hangers, and according to the pest control guy, which he would know, they're using mouth stickies, whatever types of stickies, particularly mouth stickies, and they're putting them down in the mailbox, and then your mail or whomever's mail is in there comes up, and all they do is scurry through the mail, open up, checking for checks, envelopes, checks, money orders or whatever, and then they're putting their name, erasing the name in it, and then putting their names in it. But I thought it was fascinating how we just create so much insanity. We're now taking a mouse sticky with a hanger and putting it down in the mailbox. So, you know, how do you protect yourself? And it's interesting because the Attorney General has to speak on these types of frauds because they're, you know, and I talked to the check cashing place, and she's like shrugging her shoulders like something like this happens every day and why are you so upset? But I know that it happens to people probably quite often who need money orders or who utilize money orders a lot because it's more difficult to get them back, $750 or $300 or whatever it is. You have to fill out all this paperwork. If it was your rent or something very important, your mortgage, that means you'd have to have more money because now you're paying twice. Now I have put in the request and the papers. I've done all of that, and now it's just a question of when you get it returned. And it's a legal question also as to the insurance on the money order and how much they're going to reimburse me. And I'm also trying to find out who cashed the money order, whether it was an inside job. So that's why I'm slowly getting to the Attorney General's office, writing a complaint and a letter, and also writing to the DA's office regarding the same analysis or the same issue, and hopefully get an investigation. But really, you have to watch your checks now. You now have to, you know, I'm afraid. The other day I asked for checks to be mailed. I'm praying that they make it to me, you know, without anyone, you know, taking them. So we now have to be very, very vigilant at our personal effects. And is it safer to go to the bank and someone steals your check? The problem with that is the most important thing is that, and not problem, the good news is that someone who tries to cash your check obviously has to go and sign their name on the back, et cetera, et cetera. If they do it at the same bank you're at, your bank has your signature, so they know what your signature looks like because someone, but oftentimes you've already signed it and all they're doing is whiting out the name that the payee, that is the person you owe money to, you are the payor. So the payee, all they're doing is whiting that out. How do you protect yourself? This is becoming a difficult thing because if they're going in stealing out of the mailboxes, I don't believe it's a postal issue, but if they're stealing out of the mailbox, pretty much you're a victim of a crime. And I think the banks, and I'll get to this information, the banks could reimburse you for the theft. Part of the problem is recognizing when there is the theft. I didn't recognize the theft until I received the bill from the company that I mailed it to, and they had not processed the money order that I had mailed off to them earlier. That was a month and a half later. Sometimes I'm not as diligent. I'm away traveling. Sometimes I'm not opening my mail as quickly as I should to see that there was that they did not receive this particular money order. So I am now looking into it. I will talk about it next week. But, you know, now you have to be more careful than ever, probably sealing, double sealing envelopes, that's important. Making sure that if you're mailing a check, you're putting paper around it so it's not so easily visible. I'm sure there's a group out there. Make sure you put your, now I guess the safest way is to take your mail to a post office, which is insane. Not to say the post office is, but the fact that you have to now put your mail in a mailbox inside of the post office in hopes that no one, you know, can get to it, because then try not to mail your mail in those boxes that that you have to open up. And they haven't, they don't have the slits, the smaller slits. Try not to go to those mailboxes where they have, where you just pull it open. Those are of the past. You cannot go to those mailboxes. Make sure that you, I guess you have to somehow follow up and make sure that your bills and possibly the bills have to now be paid online. And that's the biggest deterrent, particularly paying online. It will probably be more important than sending out any type of money orders or anything like that. I just do it because I just happened to be at a place and I was riding by and it's 24 hours. So online bill payment is important. Hopefully no one has. And really the most important thing is protecting your information. That is the most important thing. And the other part is just paying simply by bill pay and through your checking account, and then there will not be any money orders or checks stolen. The problem is people who have to live by money orders, usually people who are not wealthy, and those are individuals who are affected most. So just be aware of the check scams, of maybe taking action and filing online or just paying your bills online would be so helpful in cutting down on the number of checks and money orders that you put in the mail. So those things are important. And I guess the key is, you know, not to put checks in the mail anymore and somehow try to pay those checks or those bills online. And I think that is the morality to the story. So that's one scam. And boy, I can, as a former assistant attorney general in charge of the Harlem office, I can tell you there are numerous scams. And therefore, you know, we can have a full conversation about scamming. But remember, check scam, that check scam is significant. And if you're sending your checks in the mail, you have to make sure, double check, seal the envelope, whatever you have to do. But I would say begin the process of now paying online through your bank. And I think that is probably the best way, the safest way, so you won't have checks floating out in the mail anyway. Let's see. You know, tonight I was, you know, I'm constantly looking at, you know, our president, President Trump, and the issues of that are, you know, in the media. And I can only say that we had an incident and we have issues that people have seen and unmasked America. We never knew. Well, we knew that there were these neo-Nazi, anti-black groups of people. So that's nothing new. And I think the most important thing about it is, and we talked about Charlottesville and what happened there and the young woman who was killed and the president's statement. So that gets back to, and I watched, not Hannity, it was another conservative commentator who was arguing back and forth with, I think, an individual about the First Amendment, and he was really twisting the argument, you know, saying, you know, the neo-Nazis and the anti-gay and anti-black groups that were seen in Charlottesville have a right to free speech, and that the protester who was killed had equal, you know, they were equal, peaceful protests. It is, and when you talk about the First Amendment to the Constitution, we're talking about First Amendment to the Constitution, that it guarantees you, the most important thing, it guarantees you freedom of speech. It guarantees you, and specifically the Constitution, it's the First Amendment, prohibits the making of any law respecting an establishment of religion, ensuring that there is no prohibition on free speech of religion, abridging the free speech, infringing on freedom of the press, interfering with the right to peacefully assemble, or prohibiting the petitioning for government redress of grievances. It's specific. It says you can't interfere with the right to peaceably assemble. The neo-Nazis were not peacefully assembling. That group, and there are exceptions to the First Amendment, and those are very important exceptions. You can't, and you hear the one that says, you cannot yell fire in a crowded place. Yes, you have a right to say it, but that is not protected by the First Amendment. You know, so is Donald Trump disrespecting the First Amendment when he continues to infringe on the freedom of the press by lying and calling the news fake and, you know, just going after the news and news reporters and all kinds of things? That's infringing. The press should be able to get information that will allow for freedom of the press. This is our Constitution. And it just apparent, and I say this because there's issues that the members of the Senate and members of Congress are looking at impeachment, issues about impeachment, and because we're talking about the potential of a president actually going against, representing America and going against its founding fathers and its Constitution. This is something you cannot change. This is something that if you don't like, it's nothing you can do about it. This is the Constitution of the United States. You cannot infringe on the freedom of the press. You cannot shut them out, shut them down, unless you're willing to go back to the founding fathers, and which you can't, and change the Constitution. And that's what's so sad about the current president, because his lack of education as to what our foundation is there's no basis of foundation of where we stand and how we came about. So we came about through establishing a constitution. We are here, people are here because they, and he talked about building walls and all kinds of things. We are here because we have free, and people are here because, unlike their other countries, they don't respect the freedom of religion. They don't respect peacefully. It says you have a right to peacefully assemble. You have a right to petition the government for redress of your grievances. You have a right to do that. So these are the simple things that we're missing here. We're clearly missing. We have someone who doesn't understand the basis of why America exists, and those are things. So we're yeah. So to answer your question, the questions that were asked of me, is there protection of freedom of speech by these neo-Nazis? There is protection. There is protection for them to assemble peacefully. There is protection for them to speak, exercise their right to protest. Cannot be. There are exceptions to the First Amendment, just like you're not able in many jurisdictions. There is a prohibition against burning the flag. So right now we're talking about the exceptions. What are the exceptions? What can't you say? You can't do anything that will excite and encourage violence. And this is the problem that I have with the fact that there's no one dealing with the analogy. You attacked the woman who held up the head, and jokingly, is a bad joke. It is our president, whether we like it or not. Some people here voted for him, so we have to respect the fact that there are people that actually felt, and we're not going to get into why, but there are people who felt aggrieved and felt that this person represented their interests. I don't agree with the fact that you hold up a head and say that the president, you know, has his head cut off with blood dripping. I mean, I don't know who's her manager or whatever it is, but is that free speech? You can say yes, that is not protected speech, because that may incite violence. It may incite people who might want to do some harm to the president. So no, that is not protected speech. In addition to that, you have I think it was a senator, you know, who went on the deep end. I don't know what she was thinking and who, again, was talking to her. She said that she she was hoping that the president was assassinated or something. I mean, I think that is totally out of line. I can't even say how insane one would have to be. Frustrated, that's one thing, but we certainly don't expect our senators out there to speak in this way, in the way that you can't defame people. And I say that, and I know there's frustration out there. I have frustration, and even I know there's certain things, and I'm not saying that, you know, I feign this like I don't know this issue, but there's certain things I'm not going to say, no matter how I feel about the president, unless I have the FBI, the CIA, who's probably listening anyway, at my doorstep. So let's not be stupid about this. You're not going to be able to say that the president should be assassinated and not think that someone is not going to be at your door investigating you. So there are exceptions to a freedom of speech, and what the president was trying to do is make an analogy that everybody out there was wrong. But there's no place, although we have a historical aspect of it, and certainly we can pick it up next week. Topic again, First Amendment to the United States. Is it real? I will talk about it next week. We'll keep going and have a safe week, have a positive week, have a prosperous week. Love your family and take care. Lauren Razor, Razor Law.